Always count it a privilege and honor to speak and share with you. So thank you very much. You know, I think it was beginning of last year, so about February, March of 2016. And Pastor Henry, or Dad, calls me into his office and he says, hey, I want to sit down. I want to tell you, I've invited Sister Padma to come from India to come and speak for us. Now, if you don't know who Sister Padma is, she runs an orphanage in India who we've supported for, I don't know, over 20 years. This church supports her. She's an amazing preacher, evangelist, anointed woman doing so much in India. She's like this Mother Teresa in India with power. So he says to me, so I've invited Sister Padma to come and speak at the church. I was like, oh, that's awesome. I haven't seen her in so long. That's going to be great. And he said, yeah, you know, I really think this would be a good time to get the church excited about a missions trip to India. I was like, okay. He said, so I just think they'd be really excited by Sister Padma. And I think we should send a team and I think you should lead it. And I looked at him. And I said, what if we didn't? And of course, he laughed like that, like you did. And then he said again, you know, no, seriously, I think we should send a team and I really think you should lead it. And I'm like, seriously, what if we didn't? This is not Hawaii, okay? This is India. I've been around the world. I've particularly avoided that one country. It's India. So he says, okay, well, you know, just go and pray about it. I was like, okay, sure, I'll pray about it. So I left and in my prayer time went something like this. God, coming to you about India. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll go wherever you want me to go. But I don't think it's India. Because, you know, I'm not really called to the mission field. So, but I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Just, you know, I don't think it's India. So then the weeks arrived where Sister Padma flew in and I went to go pick her up at the airport and driving her back in the car. And she's telling me about India and what's going to happen when the team's there. And the whole time I'm talking to her in the car, I'm like, yeah, so when we're there and we'll do this and we will do this. And eventually I'm like thinking to myself, why do I keep saying we, Tonto? There's no we here, okay? So I, you know, she keeps talking and the next day, she spoke at the church, and I've heard her speak before, you know, and she's a powerful, powerful speaker. And she got up to speak, and for some reason, I don't even remember what she spoke about, but the tears were rolling down my face, just streaming down my face. I keep wiping the tears away. I'm like, I'm not crying, but I'm clearly crying. So there's tears, tears, tears. I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, why are you crying? And the voice inside my head says, you're crying because you know you're going to India. That's just how my brain works. But I'm sitting there, you know, and it's like in that moment, it's like God like broke my heart for India. Like in that moment, I just was like, oh, I got to go. That's what I got to do. And at the end of her sermon, she called and said, you know, if there's anybody that wants to come forward that believes they're called to go on a missions trip, come forward. And I just remember my feet were the first ones at the front of the stage. And now I really was crying. And I don't even remember if anybody else came forward, except I was quite surprised Christine Brown was next to me, also bawling her eyes out. So I was like, oh, so there's two of us going. But I didn't realize that like 30 people went forward at the time. And in that moment, you know, God is able to show me what this vision was that he had for us and what we were going to do. And in a moment of a time, he took my heart and he melted it for India. And from the minute I walked away from then, from the next day onwards, I was just so excited about the trip. I couldn't wait to go. We were planning it. And it took a lot of planning, okay? Getting a visa to get into India, no joke, okay? America could take a lesson. But it was a lot of work. There were 16 of us that went on the trip. The youngest was 16 years old that went, Miss Isabel. So, and it was absolutely a life-changing trip. It was a phenomenal experience for all of us. And when I was there, we preached, we had a preaching team in our little group that went. I preached 7 times in 8 days, and I didn't even preach every day. So those were sometimes twice in a day. And one of the messages that I preached was a bit around this scripture, and it really impacted my team because we were experiencing this firsthand. And I just wanted to share part of that with you and then more what the Holy Spirit has shown me since then. So we're going to read today from one scripture. It's Ephesians chapter 3 and verses 14. We're going to start there. So Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. So this is Paul the Apostle speaking, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, all right? He was originally called Saul, he became Paul, and he's writing to the church in Ephesians, and this is him speaking. And he says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." So first of all, notice his posture here. He's kneeling. Not that we have to be religious and you have to kneel when you pray, but it's important sometimes to notice the humility that he's asking and how he's praying from a humble place. So he's kneeling. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power." So stop right there. So when we're praying to God, we're praying to a gloriously, spiritually rich Heavenly Father. Sometimes when we pray, we forget what kind of God we're praying to. We've created God maybe in our own image of what we think he is. But Paul is very clear on who he is. He is a gloriously, spiritually rich Heavenly Father. He has unlimited resources to empower you. So that's who he's praying to. So we'll continue to read. He says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with" what? "With power. Through his spirit in your inner being, so that," there's the reason why, "so Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." So he's praying that we're strengthened with power through his spirit. Let's break that down for a second. That word power in the Greek is the word dunamis. That's where we get the word dynamite from, okay? The word dunamis, dynamite, it literally means miraculous power and ability. So he's praying that you would be strengthened through God's Spirit with power, miraculous power and ability. But how many of us are walking around in our own power and don't realize that there's this miraculous power and ability available to you? You know, I remember when I first moved up to Los Angeles and I got my first little apartment out there, and it was a tiny little one-bedroom apartment, and I was setting up my TV and getting it all plugged in and everything else. And I turn it on, get everything set up, and I turn it on, and it's not working. And my friend and I try everything. We can't get it to work. We finally realize it's the outlet. The outlet's broken. So now I'm looking around, and there's this tiny place. There's no other outlets except for in the kitchen. So we get this bright orange extension cord, okay? This is how I roll. And we go and we plug it into the kitchen. The problem is there was like one plug in there. So now I'm unplugging the coffee maker every time I need to plug the TV in. Okay, and this cord running across the front of the living room to get the TV to work. And one day, I don't know, I'd been living there a couple of months. My brother was back in town, and he comes over and he walks in my apartment and he's like, "What's going on here?" So we'll just stop. My brother is a genius, okay? He can fix anything. I don't even know how we're related. So He looks at this cord. He's like, "What is going on here?" I was like, "The TV, the outlet doesn't work." He's like, "Really? Are you sure?" I'm like, "Yes." He goes, "Why don't you call somebody?" I was like, "It takes forever. Did somebody come and fix it?" He goes, he looks at the TV. He looks around the room. He's like, "Huh." And he walks over and he starts unplugging stuff. I was like, "Hey, and it doesn't work." He's like, he plugs the TV in. He walks over to the front door and there's these two switches here. And he's like, "So what does this do?" I was like, "Oh, that controls the light." He goes, "What does this one do?" I was like, "I don't know. Probably a fan or something," and he clicks it, and doesn't the TV come on? There should have been a note for the blondes when they move in. This controls the TV, okay? But you know, that outlet was working the whole time. There was power in it the whole time. There was electricity running the whole time. It only took turning the switch on to get the power to come out. So the power is in you. Once you become a Christian and then you get filled with the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit is the power. That's the same power that raised Christ from the dead, that went into the tomb and pulled Jesus out of the grave, people. That's the power that's in you. It's just whether you're willing to turn it on. So let's keep reading. So he goes on to say, "And I pray that you, being rooted in and established on love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ." He runs out of like ways to describe the love of God. He's like, "It's so deep, it's so high, it's so wide. I can't even think of another way to describe the love of God." He says, "This love that surpasses knowledge," to know this love. So he's saying that there is a love that goes beyond your understanding. to whatever you can think or whatever you can fathom about love or about God, there's something that can transcend your understanding. There's something that can go beyond it. What is that? Love. That is the one thing that can go beyond your understanding, and that's the love of God. And he's saying, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Paul is saying, grow your roots deep and strong into the love of God. If you've ever seen those big trees, you know they've got this crazy big root system that goes down. Or you know the example when they build a tall building, they always have that foundation that goes so far down. Why? To keep the building from falling over. Why is it important that we have roots that go into God's love? He's saying this is so vitally important because when the storms of life come, which they will, when an accident happens to somebody you love and you wonder, where were you, God? Or when somebody gets sick in your family and you want to question, why, God, or how could you let this happen? See, when you've got roots that are in God's love, you wouldn't say that. Because you'd stop that thought and you'd say, you don't know my God. He loves me more than I can comprehend. He wants nothing but good for me. He would never allow anything bad to happen to me. That's the enemy. You would never challenge the love of God if you have the roots that go down deep into the love of God. So he's saying, make sure you grow your roots deep into the love of God. But he goes on to say that he wishes that we need this power to understand the love. So he's praying that we have power to understand the love of God. Who would think that you would need power to understand God's love? But you know, I think depending on how you grew up, if you perhaps didn't have a good father figure in your life, there's a chance that you have a hard time picturing God's love the correct way because your image of a father was damaged. So now when you look at the Father God and I say there's a Father God who loves you, then you're like, I'm not so sure about this. So it's sometimes difficult to grasp that heavenly love. But you know, I was on the same platform. I was privileged to have an amazing dad who has loved me and cherished me. And yet I still have my own issues sometimes with God's love. And I want to give you an example because sometimes we have a hard time, as I said, a hard time fathoming earthly love. How can we wrap our heads around a heavenly love? And I wanted to read you something here in a second. I was going up to Pasadena to get my hair done because that's where my hairdresser is. Yes, I know what you're thinking. It's a 2-hour drive. I know. She's that good, people. Don't judge me. We all got a little crazy. Now you know mine. I own it. Whatever. So I was driving up to Pasadena to see my hairdresser. Anyway, so it was the day before I was about to leave and walk out of the house where my office is in their house. And my dad said something to me, and it so kind of floored me that I wrote about it in my journal. So I'm just going to read to you what I wrote. This was a while back. He said, as I left tonight for Life Group, and knowing I was driving up to L.A. tomorrow to see Han, Dad said, drive carefully. You have my precious cargo on board. I didn't even know how to respond. Such genuine, sweet, filled with the utmost love words from my own daddy. And in my uncomfortableness of not knowing how to respond, I think I giggled and I said, I will. But it's all I can think about tonight, how lucky, blessed, and treasured I am. But also, how oftentimes this is people's response to God. When he says or shows them how much he loves them, they can't process it. They don't know how to let it sink in or register and truly experience and appreciate what he really is saying. We get uncomfortable and turn away feeling not deserving. So that's why he's saying we need power to grasp the love of God because our natural minds can't grasp it. We can't fathom it. The love of God is not naturally understood. It's supernaturally revealed. And that's what we need. We need that supernaturally revealed love because God doesn't love like we do. God's love is not based on conditions. He is love. You know, there's a great book that was written called The Five Love Languages. And if you spend any time with the Kellys, the Marriage Builders, you will be forced to read that book. No, I'm kidding. But it's a great, it's a great book. Everybody should read it. I've read it many, many years ago. And it talks about how every person has their own love language, whether it's receiving gifts or acts of service or physical touch or spending quality time. And basically it says that if you give love to a person, you have to give it in their love language, or they will actually not really receive love until it's given in their love language. So it's an interesting thing, because if you're giving somebody gifts, but their love language is quality time, then they're not going to receive the love. And I think when people approach God, sometimes they look at other people and they think, well, that person really loves God. I don't know if I love God like that. Or man, God looks like he really loves that person, because they talk about him all the time in this way, and maybe he loves them differently. And I can't love God that way. You know what? God is all five love languages, people. He knows what your love language is. He created you. He made you. He knows how to love you uniquely. He knows how to love you in a way that only you and him will have a relationship with, not like anybody else. So don't pursue a relationship with God that looks like anybody else's, because he loves you uniquely and differently, and that's the way he made you. So we need power to embrace that kind of love. And it's a journey to get it from our head knowledge into our heart sometimes. And depending on where you are in your walk with God, sometimes you think, maybe I had that at one point and I don't anymore, or maybe you're just starting out on your journey. But I'm going to use an example here. So I'm going to let you pick any president that's ever been a president of the United States, whichever one you like the most. It could be Abraham Lincoln. I don't care. Pick a president. And now imagine them doing their speech, you know, that they say, oh, my fellow Americans, I love you. I care about you. And now you're sitting watching it on your TV and you think, oh, that president really cares about me. Okay. So you think, oh, he loves me. He cares about me. But it's kind of like in your head, right? You don't really experience it. Until one day you have an accident and you end up in the hospital and you wake up, and when you wake up in your hospital room, there sits the President of the United States. And he said, by the way, I've flown in all of your family. I've taken care of the hospital bill. I've put them up in a hotel. I'm just going to stay with you here for a few days until you get better. Is that okay? Now suddenly, here sits the President of the United States in all his power, and he's come to visit you. Now you suddenly feel his love, don't you? Why? Because you've had an experience with him. It's gone from being here to having an experience with him that changes it. So there's something to be said for having an encounter with God that changes it, moves it from your head to your heart. And that encounter only comes when we're willing to say, hey, God, I want more. I'm going to humble myself. I want more of you. I want you in my life. I want to discover more. I want more of you in my life. And that's how we move from the head knowledge to our heart. See, God's love has that ability to shake you to your very core, you know, in a good way, make a grown man cry, you know? But there's a reason for all of this. And if you read that last line, it says, for the reason is that he says that then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So what is he saying? He's saying until you experience and truly understand the love of God, you will not experience the fullness of his life or his power. So you need to have the power of God to understand the love of God so you can walk in his fullness and have his fullness of his life and his power in you. So could it be that his power is generated through you in relation to your understanding of his love? That his power comes through you in relation to your understanding of his love. When we were in India, I remember it was the very first Sunday that we got there, and of course it's like an hour drive to each church. It's an hour drive anywhere with the traffic. But we get to the church, and we all 16 of us, we get the front doors, and the church has already been going on. There's like 400 people, some of the places, 600 people in there. And we get there, and the service is already going because they sing for like 45 minutes. And we get to the front doors, and they stop us, and they're like, you need to take your shoes off before you go into the church. There's no shoes allowed in the church. I'm like, sorry, I'm what now? See, I don't like being bare feet anywhere. Never mind in India. So this is when I'm like, okay, we're called to do this, God. But the funniest was Christine Brown in her strappy heels. Sorry, that was a classic moment watching her take those off. But so we walk into the church, bare feet, and we get up to the front. Now, we've been driving for an hour. The church service isn't even, I'm not even going to be up to speak for a while longer. And suddenly we all realize, well, most of us realize, I need to go to the bathroom. So we asked them, we're like, where's the bathroom? They're like, we'll take you. The bathroom is over there. And I was like, I see a problem with this because my shoes are about a quarter of a mile that way. Only worse than being bare feet in India is being bare feet in the bathroom. I was like, I'll hold it, Lord Jesus. So I preached very quickly that Sunday. But, you know, after we'd preach, like, we'd invite the people down for prayer. And my team would come down, all 16 of us here, and people would come forward for prayer. And it's not like in America where maybe one or two people come forward. Like, 100 or 200 people came forward, okay? And, like, storming us. Like, we would literally have to, like, get back up on the counter to try and push them back, to try and hold them, because they're so desperate for a touch from God. Their faith is so high that you have what they need, that you're in touch with God, you're close to God, that if you pray for me, I'm going to get what I came here for. And when they came forward, and half of my team had never prayed for anybody ever, okay? They had never laid hands on somebody. They never prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit or salvation or healing. And now suddenly they've got 20 people they've got to pray for. And but the thing was, is, you know, before we went, we're like, oh, we're excited. We want to see miracles and signs and wonders and people getting saved. But I'm telling you, when you're in that moment and suddenly you see the hopelessness and you see them coming forward with their deformed children or blind eyes or sick babies, or you see them in their need and their problem and you just see them with all their faith reaching out to you, in that moment you go, oh, dear God, please let my faith not fail me in this moment. Let me have all the faith that I need to believe that my God is going to heal them in this moment. And I'm telling you, in that moment, your heart breaks. Like Jesus says, he's heartbroken with compassion for them. And for a moment, my team experienced God's heart. His love for these people. And we were so taken, like, you'd start praying and we were just, when I shared part of the sermon with them, it's like we got it. It's like God's love that's generating this power through us. And as we'd pray, it was just like you could just feel the power of God going through you. You're just a vessel. It's just going through you at such an incredible rate. And my team members would come walking past me one at a time with tears streaming down their faces and their faces glowing from being in the presence of God. And they would just go, wow, wow. Because, you know, we went to minister to them, but you get so ministered to, because when that power comes through you, just whatever is left, I'll take whatever is left, God, that's enough for me. I mean, it was so incredible. And we got to see miracles and we got to see people delivered from demons and set free and filled in the Spirit and falling over in the presence of God. And just, it was just an incredible, incredible time. And in those moments, we experienced that love of God. We experienced how the love of God changes you. There was a photo I was going to show, actually, you can just this is us when we're praying for people, to give you an idea what the crowds look like. So it's me in the white with the red scarf and Ashley to my left and Christine to my right and Gloria and all the team. We're all down front facing that way. And that's just a small shot. You can't even see that. That's the crowds of people trying to be prayed for. And it goes as far back as you could see. Thanks, guys. But it was, as I said, an amazing experience and changed us when we experience the love of God flowing through you at that rate. We discovered that, you know, well, we know this, that God is love. His every motive is generated from a place of love. Everything he is comes from a place of love. And I think that's what we experienced there, is like you want to help people, but when you see how much God loves them, you just want to tap into that so much more, because you want to see change in their life. You want them to experience that love that he loves them with. And I think that's why unforgiveness and pride and jealousy and anger and bitterness are warned against so strongly. Maybe we're warned against them so strongly because they're the enemy of love. What is God telling you to let go of? Is there pride? Is there jealousy? Is there anger? Whatever that emotion is that is stirring, that he's telling you, let go of it, let go of it. Because, you know, they say that pride is the best friend of insecurity, which is kind of funny because I think they're like opposites, right? But usually when pride comes out through the mouth, insecurity is hiding in the heart. we've all experienced this at some point, I'm sure. I mean, everybody's experienced pride or insecurity of both of them. And I think there's a simple rule for both of them, and that's humility. Humility is the solve all problem. I love what Rick Warren says about humility. He says, humility is not thinking less about yourself. It's thinking about yourself less. See, as God pushes me to care more about others, I become more humble. Then I no longer think I'm the best or the worst at anything. See how it deals with both of them at the same time? When you humble yourself before God, and I think that's why it's important for us to check our hearts daily, because there's always arrows that are being shot at your heart with these emotions attached. It's easy in one day to have all five of those emotions, but it's when they come to realize what they are and say, you know what, I'm not going to let that stay. I'm not going to hold on to that, because I don't want to dilute God's power in my life. I don't want to have that. If I'm affected by these arrows, then I'm affecting God's power flowing through me, because it's an enemy of God's love. It's important. That's why it's warned against so strongly, because he wants you to walk in his fullness. He wants you to walk in his fullness, in his power, and his love. And these things affect it. You know, my own journey with God, into God's love, and I think it's a constant journey. I think we should never stop. We should constantly be wanting more, deeper. What else have you got, Lord? Show me more of your heart. Don't be satisfied with where you are. But my journey with into God's love has not always been an easy one. It's not always been just like the trips to India, as they say. It's not an easy bottle to get open. My journey, as I said, has not been necessarily an easy one. Definitely God's shown me his love in many, many ways. But I've also had my heart broken. I've had my heart shattered through divorce. And I remember when I was going through the process before the actual divorce, I remember I would shake uncontrollably, like to my very bones, like as if I was shaking from my bones. And my dad would say, "Are you cold?" And I was like, "No, I can't stop shaking." And it was from the anxiety, and it was from the shock of what was happening, as your world is crumbling and you can't understand what's just gone on. And I would find myself every morning in my prayer time, on my face before God, praying and crying. Praying and crying, as that song would play in the background, "It Is Well." And you know, in those moments, I curled up to my spiritual daddy, says God Father, and I would go to him in the spirit realm, and I would curl up next to him, and I would cry, and I would pray. And you know, God's love, in those moments, I went somewhere else with God. I've been somewhere beyond that I can actually put into words. Because it's in those moments where he would give me, inside of me, this assurance, this love, this peace that you're going to be okay. I'm going to get you through this. You're going to make it. And I couldn't even understand how or why that would, or how that was going to play out. But in those moments, he hugged me and held me, and it transcends human understanding. And I just went somewhere deeper with God that I couldn't ever look back. I could never go back off to that experience. But you know, 2 weeks after I signed the divorce papers, I remember that morning I was having quiet time with the Holy Spirit and still kind of going, "What just happened?" And that night, through an interesting conversation and my family, they were talking about something, and I kind of sat back and I said, they were talking off and I sat by myself and I said, "Holy Spirit, what does that mean?" And I don't want to go into detail what the conversation was about, but in like a 2-minute movie in my head, which probably felt like 5 minutes, but it's probably like 10 seconds, you know how the Holy Spirit can do that in your mind, showed me this movie of basically what happened in the last few months of my marriage, what happened, why it happened, and the whole motive behind it. And I, at the end of it, I sat back and I went, He knew. And as I said those words, it was like a vacuum cleaner, like every emotion went out from me, all the heartbreak, all the condemnation, all the guilt, all the shame, all the feelings you have, whether it was your fault or not your fault in a divorce, you have them. And in a split second, they were gone. And I went, I've never experienced anything like that in my whole life. And from that next morning on, every single morning after that, I woke up happy. I was completely healed. God took my broken heart and mended it in a split second, folks. When he says he mends the broken hearts, yeah, he doesn't mend it like a normal person. You don't have to expect, if you're going through something, you don't have to think when people tell you, oh, this is going to take a while, this is going to break you. My friends that are unsaved, that don't know the Lord, have seen me since then, close to that point, and were like, how are you okay? How are you fine? How are you happy? How has this not broken you? Because this would have broken other people. I'm like, the love of God. It's only because my roots were so deep in the love of God. They were founded so securely that when my world came shattering down, I knew the one person that would love me no matter what. That his love would be there no matter who else loved me, no matter what else went wrong, he loved me. And it's that love that brought me through. It's that love that he wants to show you. It's that love that you need to hold on to in your time. And he can mend your broken heart. And he can move you forward. But it's important to build that love with God every day, to look for that deeper place. If you've never had that, to have that encounter, because life has storms that will come. If you haven't had one, brace yourself. And that is why you need to build that foundation of on God's love now. You know, it's been this month, it would be 3 years since my divorce. And so I thought it was fitting and time. And so I went to the courts this last week, and I made it official in front of the judge, and I changed my last name to something that I believe represents me and my life and who God is in my life. So I changed my name. My name is now Cindy Hope, H-O-P. Yes, I thought it was time, and it's a good thing. If you close your eyes with me today, I just want you, this message was for everybody, and I believe that a journey with God and his love should be for everybody. So I want every single person to talk with the Holy Spirit inside of you and to ask him, how can I go deeper with you? I want you to pray your own prayer with the Holy Spirit this morning, to have more of that journey with God, to go to a deeper place, to want a new, fresh understanding of his love. Because with his love comes his power. And maybe you've been devoid of his power in your life. Maybe it's because you don't realize that there's things that are blocking his love and his power in your life. So forgive, let go of those things now. Have your own prayer time with him. Humble your heart. Begin a new journey with God.